Welcome back to War Room Live, everybody, on the Alex Jones Network. My name is Tiffany, and I am your generally referred to bubbly little fairy of doom, broadcasting to you live from Northern Kentucky, where we are out here getting out the vote for Congressman Thomas Massie in the 4th District. I am going to be wrapping up my segment in the next 4 minutes. We're going to talk about all the ways that you can participate and help in this initiative, because what we're seeing right now in Kentucky is the most expensive race in American history for a district-wide primary. We have AIPAC and Israel-aligned billionaires, three of them to be exact, that have spent nearly $15 million to unseat the most popular member of Congress by approval ratings on both sides of the aisle. The man that has been serving the American people relentlessly over the past year as he's gone up against monsters, literal pedophiles, and all of Congress to do it, and the administration. So right now here in Kentucky, we're watching a 5-to-1 spent where we have these three billionaires that have never been to Kentucky, have no ties to Kentucky. Most of them are not from this country, that are spending millions of dollars so that every one ad you see from Thomas Massie, you're seeing five of theirs. And we've come here to try and make sure that people realize that you can't buy these elections, that we're here to ensure that you know where you can go and vote, how you can vote, how you can see the candidates. Well, one of them, how you can see Thomas Massie, ask him questions, and then get to the polls. I want you guys to understand that being here on the ground, it's been pretty crazy, I guess. I don't have a good word. There's not a delicate word here. It's been a wild ride to see how much they have blanketed this district in just blatant illegal propaganda. And when I say illegal, I mean it, because many of their ads have created deep fakes of Thomas Massie saying things that he has never said about issues he's never referenced, which is a crime in the state of Kentucky. But they're buying them in other states and they're just broadcasting them here. So we'll see if anyone's ever held accountable. What we want is for all of you to understand the role you have to play. If you are here in Kentucky, we want to see you. I am here joined by dozens of massive creators from across the internet. We're going to be here hosting events and broadcasting all weekend long. Today is the first day of early voting. And one of the ways that the vote is being suppressed here in Kentucky at the polls is that just a week ago, they changed the polling locations so that none of the locations that were on the ballot that these Northern Kentuckians got in the mail are accurate polling locations anymore. They did it under the guise of ADA compliance, but in reality, it was designed to ensure that the people that went to early voting would fail, because there are very, very few early voting locations. And unfortunately, those are the days that most people can vote. It's easier to vote on a Saturday than it is on a Tuesday. Right. I think that people should be allowed to take off work to vote. My employees can take off work to vote, but not everyone can. So for those of you here in Northern Kentucky, for anyone online, I want you sharing this link. You're going to go to thomasmassie.com/vote. Or if you are in a district here in Kentucky, you can go to your county name, thomasmassie.com/Kenton, thomasmassie.com/Boone. Okay. And you can find the real polling location you need to visit today, tomorrow, and Saturday. You can find it, you can share it, you can tell everyone online. We don't want people driving 45 minutes to the lone early voting location they have. Again, bad election laws here when it comes to access and the ability to register, right? We don't want people driving 45 minutes to a location that's not there and missing their opportunity. So everybody should be sharing this website, telling everyone how to get out and vote. If you're here this weekend and you want to come visit, you want to come see us, tomorrow night we're going to be down in LaGrange, where we're going to be hosting an event that is on Thomas Massie's events page at his website. Saturday morning, Lisey Steakhouse in Covington, we will be on the roof from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with creators and Thomas Massie. You can come out, you can see us, you can talk to the candidate, and then you can go to the polls. Just after that, we're going to be heading to Thomas Massie's headquarters in Florence, Kentucky, where we're going to have a rally with Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and Thomas Massie, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. And then Saturday evening, we're going to be going to Turfville? We're going to be going to, I'll post it, Turfway, where we're going to be watching the Belmont Stakes, because this is a horse racing town. For everybody that joined me today, I can't thank you enough. I need your help getting out the vote tomorrow night. I'll be here with Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and Thomas Massie live in the War Room. Thanks, everybody, so much.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just, I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I know, I love it. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it.
This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
In a brazen power grab ripped straight from the globalist authoritarian handbook, President Trump's National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or NSPM 7, has just redefined core American beliefs as indicators of domestic terrorism. This thing unleashes the FBI's sprawling joint terrorism task forces to sniff out and preemptively dismantle networks before a single crime is committed. Stephen Miller called it the first real all-of-government push against left-wing terror. But as Ken Klippenstein laid bare, the language is so broad it devours everything in its path, bypassing Congress through the same old federal-local fusion centers that have been grinding away at liberty for decades. And in the last few days, Trump's counterterrorism point man, Sebastian Gorka, made it crystal clear. This blade cuts both ways.
Let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
We have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
So I don't talk a lot about Fuentes on the show because I always knew that there was something up about it. It was very obvious to me, and I just didn't know how much. It's always tough when you've got a big newsroom like Breitbart because I've got two options. I've got ignore it, knowing this thing is eventually going to go away, right, or direct a bunch of fire at it. And we did a couple of pieces on him over the years that have been negative, obviously. But I spent a lot of time on it because it felt very inorganic to me. Certainly the numbers that were reported around this guy, that he was commanding this huge audience, though none of us know anyone who actually cares about his show in a serious way. Now he came out just a couple days ago and said he's a flat-out Democrat. The left understands this. They're as strategic as we are, if not more strategic. And for them to boost people who could drive a wedge within the MAGA movement is about the best strategy they could run. And now we've got actual evidence that's what they were doing.
It's such a sad truth.
NSPM 7 can now be twisted into domestic inquisition. Thousands of JTTF agents embedded in local police departments, campuses, and online now primed to hunt radicalizing speech that challenges Gorka's protected narrative.
Official terrorism strategy, counterterrorism strategy, literally says they will identify and neutralize political groups that are anti-American, and then they throw in or radically pro-transgender and anarchists. So the bone is, we're going to go after Antifa, we're going to go after the transgender groups, but don't worry, we define all of the former MAGA that are actually patriots as the enemy. Just like they tell you all the police states for the Muslims after 9/11, and then, of course, the whole time it was really for all of us.
Fuentes, you will burn in hell, you sad little boy.
What Goodbye. The?
This isn't new. It's a bipartisan version of post-9/11 powers. NSPM7 revives that machinery domestically, mapping evildoers through beliefs once protected by the First Amendment, which this document notably ignores. Recall Bush-era directives enabling mass surveillance and preemption that ensnared Americans for years, from Obama's IRS targeting conservatives to Biden's war on Alex Jones and every America First dissenter. Time to expose it, reject it, and reclaim the freedoms our forefathers bled for. The Great Awakening demands vigilance, not compliance. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for keeping...
You awakening wonders. This is the day that we have Alex Jones on the show, so it's difficult to be enthusiastic about anything else, although it's also a time that my book is out, How to Become Christian in 7 Days May Take 50 Years of Sin and Serious Fuck-Ups to Get Started. There's a link in the description now that will take you directly to Amazon where you can acquire it and assist me. We'll be making content where we walk you through this process. I'm going to look at the chapters in advance. We don't want any more scenarios where I'm leafing through a Bible moment after moment, taking up the precious time of this barbarian Babylonian system of the fallen. If you're watching this anywhere other than Rumble, get onto Rumble now. Even if you're watching this on X, this is one of the rare moments where you can't click on X and see Alex Jones is streaming if you're one of Alex's many followers, because we have him. We have corralled and captured Alex Jones. They say you can't keep lightning in a bottle, but it turns out you can keep Alex Jones quiet for a few seconds just by honoring him. Alex Jones, thank you for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand.
Russell, thank you so much for having me on. The final saga of InfoWars is finally here, and it's a big deal. The CIA, the FBI, it's been declassified, ran all these operations. The Trump administration's Todd Blanche, AG, killed the investigation into what they did 6 months ago, and it's just emblematic of how Trump's gone sideways. I'm so sad about it. We really wanted him to succeed, and we know in many ways he's better than the Democrats, but we now see Trump coming out yesterday and saying, I don't care about the American people's financial situation. All I care about is war. A month ago, he said, I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. We're a war country now. It's as if the old Trump got possessed by a demon or something. And so that's where we are right now. But what a moment to be alive. The global awakening to tyranny is only accelerating. So we don't, you know, rise and fall on Trump. He just wrote it on the populist wave, and we're all here continuing steadfastly like you've done to not compromise and tell the truth.
Well, listen, sometimes I do feel compromised, Alex. Sometimes I'm very aware of my fallenness and my brokenness. And you're, of course, one of the people that I look to. Indeed, one of the moments on my already notorious Piers Morgan appearance that I found most difficult was when I tried to explain, and I kind of wish I could have been inhered in that moment with your beautiful spirit, that if you were to look at the media landscape 20 years ago, it was evident that most people trusted blue chip, familiar insignia, mainstream media institutions, whether that's the BBC or New York Times. But now, and that's to some significant degree due to sacrifices you've borne personally, people regard those institutions with great cynicism. Now, the problem, I think, that comes with this time of mass distrust, disorder, and fragmentation is that people find it very difficult to orientate ourselves. You know, like, even take this story that we're talking about right now, that you, one of the great advocates for Trump, one of the most serious and senior voices for Trump, certainly in the space in which you've dominated, succeeded, flourished for many years, you are turning away from Trump and recognizing that even a character as idiosyncratic syncretic, significant, and at points magnificent as Donald Trump is ultimately just another pawn, just another piece being moved around on this chessboard. Was there a significant moment when you had that realization? How do you look back at your earlier support of Trump? And if... And does Trump's failure in the White House, if that's how you would characterize it, mean that this type of politics is actually over? That none of us can ever get it up again for any candidate, whether it's a coffee-colored wonder like the brilliant Barack Obama, whether it's some sort of New Age guru type, whether it's this exciting, priapic, and ever-quipping Donald Trump. Once they're in the system, they're going to do what the system does. Do you think this is a significant moment, Alex? And have you had, even though like you're a man who seems to live in a permanent state of epiphany sometimes, I think that's why the culture finds you in some quarters at least difficult to deal with. My question is, mate, do you think that this is a further pivotal moment where now it's like there can be no trust of anyone?
Well, the best way to describe this is the left in the last 6-8 months when I started really coming out against Trump, because he'd gone sideways so much. I wasn't expecting perfection, but he really started to deviate when he kicked out Elon Musk. And Elon said, you know, Trump's in the Epstein files. Then Trump did direct the cover up of the files and got so angry at MTG and others, you know, when they forced it through Congress. And we just learned the devastating information that was even wilder than I thought would actually be in there. And they've already held back more than half of it. So imagine what they did release. The left's like, oh, you now admit your 10 years of support for Trump was a lie and it was a fraud and you were con. No. When they used to call him a liar on issues, I know all the major issues. He was very accurate, very truthful on average. Not perfect. None of us are, but like a 97% accuracy rate, I would say. And then with the cover-up of Epstein, the shutting down of Doge, all the insider trading going on that even makes Nancy Pelosi blush. She was the previous grand champion. Now Trump and all the sons of his cabinet are literally just raking in at every level. And then, you know, promising not to go to war with Iran. If you elect Kamala, it's World War III with Iran. The Pentagon even telling him, and they're not perfect, hey, they're not going to fall. They're going to close the strait. It's going to kill your recovery. That was unanimous. It was only the Mossad and Netanyahu that told Trump they'll fall in 4 days. There'll be an uprising. It's going to be great. That was 75 days ago. So I went from being somewhat critical, trying to get him back on track, until we saw this event 75 days ago. And I said, okay, now I've really got to go after him to get back on track. And then about 5 weeks ago when he said, we will destroy all of Iran's culture in one day. They will never return. They will be a dead people, basically, the definition of genocide. That type of megalomaniac statement, I came out and said, you got to be 25th Amendment if you keep saying it. He came out a day later and said, no, I won't nuke him. I said, okay, great. So that was, you know, tough love. Then he said last week, if they don't do a deal, we will turn them into one giant glowing crater. That's another nuclear threat. So it's that type of megalomania and then political suicide in the midterms to say, I don't care about Medicaid or Medicaid. And now I don't care about the American people's finances. I don't even think about that. That's a quote yesterday. Just the disconnect there. I really believe a lot of the doctors that have assessed him that he has frontal lobe early stage dementia, meaning the rest of the brain's operating. And my grandfather, my mom's dad, had frontal lobe dementia. He'd be totally normal sometimes. The last year he was alive, totally crazy other times. And, I mean, I think we have the madness of King George here. And so Trump was like a great war horse that got us so far, or a horse that won a bunch of races, and you love it, and it's great. But then once it goes crazier, once it breaks a leg, that's it. So I just think we need to point out that Trump has become everything he claimed he was going to oppose. He still has RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and a lot of good people's administration. The Border Patrol's been doing his job. So I'm not throwing the baby out the bathwater. I just cannot underwrite and be an apologist and sign on, like I'd say, a third of the old Trump supporters. You know, Gorka, the head of counterterrorism now, says basically Tucker Carlson's a terrorist. We're investigating him. You know, all of this. And then that's what I was going to say earlier. We're at the Great Awakening. We've gone out of the beginning of the beginning into the end of the beginning. We're going into the middle part of this, or the second act of this. And the globalists know they've lost. So all they can do is, okay, who's prominent? Who's liked? Who's telling the truth? investigate them, set them up, put them in prison. Everything they've done to you, they tried to do to me. It just never hit the newspapers as much. Some of it did because it was just, you know, I wasn't as prolific as you, so they didn't have as many people to set me up. So that's why I automatically knew it was crap. So anybody, whether it's Tucker Carlson, whether it's Candace Owens, whether it's Megyn Kelly, whether it's you or me, you have to understand that they are coming after us because they know that we can't be bought. We're committed. We're not perfect. We realize we're fallen and sinners. But the value, the spiritual energy, the high of doing what's right, the Holy Spirit saying, good job, you can put a gun to my head and I couldn't sell out. I can't do it because the spiritual feeling is such a high, is so fulfilling to fight evil, I'm totally addicted. People say, oh, thank you for what you do. I'm completely an addict of fighting tyranny, an addict to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I love this one side. That's why I thank the listeners supporting me and spreading the word and keeping us on air because they're keeping me in the fight. This is all I want. And I look at you. I've been watching you for decades, interviewing you for over like 12 years or so. And you were somewhat reformed 12 years ago, but you still, you know, were a giant of a guy and a powerful presence. But since you found God, you're glowing, you're radiating. Everything you say is so much more eloquent. That's what I want more of. When you serve the living God, it is just endless expansion and discernment and literal mental superpowers. So I feel sorry for the Satanists and people that never found God because they don't know what they're missing.
I love you for saying that. That's so kind of you. What I feel the point we might be at, Alex, in our culture, because I've never been able to doubt your integrity. You're a person that maybe a million times a day, I would think, oh my God, that's crazy what he's saying. And then subsequently I'd do some reading or research, or I'd open a link, or someone else would explain it in a different, more scientific, more academic, more credentialed and professional way. And time after time, that famous meme, Alex Jones was right, would come to fruition again. You've got the kind of beautiful, prophetic craziness that the world in so many ways needs. And what I think's astonishing is that when you were advocating for Trump, it seemed still very mercurial and sort of crazy. You know, like I think it was when he spoke to you directly from the Oval Office.
I was the first. Roger Stone came to me, who I'd known for years, from JFK in Dallas. He said, nobody's endorsing Trump. I told him to come on your show. There's a blockade on him. I was the first major show to endorse him. And then I talked to him behind the scenes, heard what he was planning to do, and yes, did endorse him. He said, I will not let you down. You know, I think, you know, you will be very impressed.
Well, and yet, here we are. And I'm not as brave as you, I have to say. I'm sometimes just scared because of the legal trials I'm facing, because I'm an Englishman in your beautiful country. I sometimes feel like if I'm too assertive on the subjects that most people recognize as being quite close to the center of world power right now, Israel, Palestine, genocide, Trump's co-option.
Trump will come out and call you a traitor and say you're an idiot like he did to myself and others repeatedly the last month. Yeah. And people said, oh, how do you like that? I mean, I'm glad he got mad and attacked me because that means I'm getting his attention. And I'm trying to get him back on track because he has all Mark Levin, all these horrible people advising him. So, I mean, when he targets you, now we have the head of counterterrorism now saying he wants to come after Trump's original supporters in a national security memorandum. Well, I mean, that just proves what we're saying. So it's we have to protect humanity from the spirit that has invaded the White House.
But it isn't possible, I don't think, Alex Jones, for you to influence Trump if Trump is now operating in spheres of power and influence the manner of which you describe. And you alluded in your last answer to a supernatural and good versus evil component, which I know informs you hugely. Indeed, my own journey to Christ, which I suppose I would describe as being grabbed by the throat by Christ and thrust into new light in the brokenness of personal crisis, one of the things that's been, I want to say, validating is that I'm a person that's consumed your content since I was 16 years old. Yours, David Icke's, reading Eric von Daniken's Spaceships of the Gods, doing LSD, trying to make sense of this world, going through the socialist phase, learning about Che Guevara, recognizing that you can never trust the establishment, that the government, whoever you vote for, you're going to get bureaucratic systems that ultimately operate with the same globalist imperatives. I've known that for a long while, like because of people like you and, you know, other influences from across the political, cultural and philosophical spectrum bolted together like any autodidact, anyone who's educated themselves because they didn't go to university or whatever. I've got that kind of perspective. Now, when I come to the Lord, it happened very viscerally and not even, it wasn't an option or a decision. Just suddenly I went from, oh yeah, Jesus, he's a great prophet like Buddha or whatever, to, oh my God, he's actually real. And since then, I've understood the necessity of the resurrection, the requirement of him taking all shame on the cross, the need for him to be absolutely perfect, the simple beauty in scripture, the truth of the prophecies about him in the Old Testament. And what I'm trying to work out now, Alex, is how that conversation is going to unfold with people that are New Age, with people that are broken, with people that are the types of Christian that are right now in office praying, laying hands on Trump, praying for war, praying for death, excluding and making moral and ethical judgments, making it impossible for people of other faiths to have open dialogue with Christians, making it impossible for people with other lifestyles.
Well, exactly. You can see the energy of the fake Christians around him. It's purely satanic. And, you know, Christ is the groom, we're the bride. And when he comes knocking at the door and then we, you know, accept it, it's described as you know, literally, you know, a union, and then God takes us. And you know, that's the thing. And so people say, why do I start spewing stuff, or why do I get so energetic? It's because most of what I do is I have a template how the world works temporally, and I study it, but only so when God gives me information, I understand it. And then I'm just basically streaming the information. And so with my limited intellect, trying to describe this incredible beauty and complexity, and like I'm given like every angle and how it all works and the whole system and on any topic, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And so it comes off as crazy. That's why people that get this download look crazy, because you're just literally like channeling a fire hose of information.
Yeah. Like, well, last time I came on InfoWars, and do let us know whatever we can do to support you and to support InfoWars, for even for the haters who loathe Alex Jones, not that I've got no business or no time for you. You've got to recognize Alex Jones.
I can give
Jones
you a major
person.
Update on that.
Well, hold on, let me do it. Let me finish my spiel, mate. You know, like when I was there in crazy place selling your supplements, then like I sat there quietly like a good Christian man doing what I was supposed to, except for that bit where we'd done push-ups. And I was very excited to go on that walk, by the way, when me and you talked about going trespassing and all that sort of stuff. What I want to say is that you cannot question the authenticity of Alex Jones. What I'm going to be talking about after we come back from this break is how we manage to communicate the principles of Christianity to a non-Christian audience in a way that don't seem churchy, preachy, or, I don't know, pallid, lacking in power and potency. That's one thing I'm going to be asking Alex Jones about. Two, I'm going to be saying, does this now represent the threshold where we abandon once and for all any faith in the system? Not, of course, to become despondent, no, but to focus on new systems of government, people-powered democracy, participatory democracy. And I'm going to be asking Alex Jones about that. But first, we have a message from one of our partners. It's still showbiz, baby. Who knows when the government will decide to switch you off or hunt you down like a pig?
Squeal!
We're going to need a currency that's beyond the reach of corrupt global institutions. Rumble wallet is what you need, and cryptocurrencies are what you require. You could choose from Bitcoin, stablecoin, tied to the US dollar, or Tether gold. That's backed by real gold. How much control have you got over your money?
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom, at least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently, slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Phone hot in every single direction. The great Alex Jones, my screen. The magnificent and amazing Alex Jones. The mic was up there, Alex, and I heard you saying all sorts of amazing stuff about Katy Perry being in the occult and all sorts of wonderful things. Now, we mute the mics over this side. Now, I want to say this. I did not have any sense that Katy Perry was in the occult. I start to worry about it now that she's getting with old Justin Trudeau. But man,
no, that was her. That was her dad. Wanted to come to the show and said that.
Her dad
came on and said that.
No, that's crazy stuff, man. Hey, Alex, we can talk about that if you want to, but what I wanted to talk about is what I was chatting about before the break just there. By the way, if you're watching us anywhere other than Rumble, if you're watching us on YouTube, and I can't imagine you would be, Alex Jones, Russell Brand, YouTube, it just doesn't make sense anymore. If you want free speech, join us on Rumble and get Rumble Premium, and you'll get access to additional content from us. And remember, my book's out now on Amazon. I know Amazon has its problems. Everything has its problems. Indeed, these kind of systemic problems are precisely what I'm trying to understand and learn from an elder here, Alex Jones. I would say he's an elder in this space. One of the things we do these days is iconoclastically bring down those that have gone before us. Gandhi was a great guy. Was he, though? Didn't he sleep in a bed with his nieces? Martin Luther King, wasn't he a good leader? Well, he was having sex with his secretary. Oh, okay. Well, I guess everyone's broken. Everyone's ruined. We should just give up, should we? And let the globalist imperialists dominate us and just yield to the digital ID, the surveillance and the senselessness. Please, if you haven't got my book yet, get it now. We're going to be doing read-alongs and I'm going to be bringing the course to you. Now, what I was asking, Alex, is doesn't, if you want to call it the capitulation of Trump or the failure of Trump, in addition to the challenges you're facing now at InfoWars, which are exactly the kind of problems that I would preempt if you don't have any allies amidst the powerful, like, who, you know, all that's left is the people. All that we have is each other now. All we have is the possibility of building alliances where the technological revolution finally delivers on its threat. The same way that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies massively disrupted the ability to control finance, and channels like yours with the new information space meant the hegemony of centralized media was annihilated, they know what's coming down the pipe is the disruption of politics. There's no need for centralized institutionalized politics anymore that always yields to global power. We can truly have bottom-up grassroots democracy. Run your community democratically using the technology that they want to use to ensure facial recognition technology is implemented in my country, for one thing. Digital ID, that's also in my country. My country, it seems to me, Alex, is being used to pilot schemes that will ultimately be implemented across the globe when they use, you know, Project 2030 or all the stuff you know more about than me to fully implement centralized authority. So if you don't have any allies in the White House or in Congress or in Parliament in my country, we've got to go direct to the people. How concerned are you that they're cutting those ties through censorship and control? And do you think now is the time for us to actually be directly involved in politics, running for office and attempting to change the very systems that we know convert even the best intentioned leaders into plebs and larvae of the evil hive mind?
Well, those are all excellent points. I want to answer those. But you said something before the break. I'm trying to remember. I wanted to answer about Christianity or about how do we reach out to people, not with beat them over the head with the Bible or with the controlled fake, you know, Christianoid establishment systems that are set up to turn people off. I mean, I think that was your question. And
yeah, it's one of them.
The answer here is there. You use Carl Jung. Okay, I would start with an atheist or a liberal this way. Okay, let's talk about archetypes. There is good versus evil. And we know that when we resonate towards good and we resonate towards the good forces of the universe, it helps us and it helps others. And I can tell you, the globalists themselves, none of them are atheists. They believe in the occult. They believe they serve the devil. They know exactly what they're doing. So I would just challenge people out there to reach out to Jesus Christ and say, look, I want to believe in you. Show yourself to me, sometimes physically or, you know, through things. I want to believe. I'm knocking on the door. You're knocking on the door. I'm reaching out to you in good faith, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God. Show me and just see what God does and just see how things change, okay? And because our God is the God of the universe who created all this, that is the first mission. And then realize, you think you're turned off of these establishment churches? Most of them are a bunch of establishment, globalist, leftist, ecumenical, Rockefeller Foundation over 100 years ago to go in and take over the churches of the world to turn people off. So that is my message there. And then you also talk about, I never put my faith in a leader, a cult of personality, as if I thought Trump would fix it all. But a lot of people did. And he did a lot of good. And he began to go sideways for whatever reason. So we don't get disheartened by that. We realize that he was just one vehicle just here to do that. And populists are winning everywhere. The Great Awakening's here. The Fourth Turning's here. And we had a Davos just yesterday. The talking point was, AI will save us. God isn't real, but now it exists. We've made a God. We should worship AI. It is going to be our savior. And so we need to understand, no, that is not going to be our savior. AI is just true narcissism where you're looking into the pool and see your own face and are in love with it. It just scrapes our content, our music, our ideas, our literature, our culture, and shows it back to us in a very beautiful, integrated way. That is even more example of how we are amazing, made in the image of God, as Genesis says, not God, but the image of God, little g, as creators, basically God's original AI. And we have to then fight tyranny, but also not hate tyranny and those involved in it, because they are lost. They are the failures. They have succumbed to it. And you know, the devil's the great accuser. He has a lot of tricks. You know, he doesn't exist. Good doesn't exist. So you don't think there's anybody good. But also one of the biggest tricks of the devil is the accuser. Once we have a conscience, once we dial into God, we can see our own sin. We want to make it better. The devil says, well, see, you've done all this stuff. And so you're not good enough to actually lead anybody. You need to just sit down and shut up. No, we announce like you do the things that you've done that are wrong as an example to others, to let them know that they can get out of what they were into. They can get out of the bondage. I've certainly not been some choir boy. I've certainly gone through my trials and tribulations. And that's what God's doing, is like a truck, four-wheel drive, trying to get out of the mud. And God wants to see that struggle. And as long as we commit to that, God doesn't, like Oprah Winfrey, just give us everything we want like a secret. You imagine that you get it. Some of God's greatest gifts were unanswered prayers, to quote Garth Brooks. But when you're in alignment with God, you do the right thing. God, in almost every case, especially in my life, will open the doors up. When doors close, if you don't give up like Job, believe in God, more doors will even open. So God wants us to take full action, commit, and then he will take us the final few steps over, and that's what this is about. So this is about dialing into the universe that God created. This is about interfacing with God, and these evil people and groups don't want us to realize that we are electrochemical computers. They declassified it last month. We're a liquid crystal that is totally empathic and absolutely psychic. All the universities have proven it, that we are all interconnected. The sixth sense is more important than our eyesight, our smell, our olfactory, our taste, our feel. It is the real sense. The sixth sense is the greatest of all the senses. And as we open that up, it's a radio channel or TV channel. We have to tune it towards God and his plan and not towards Satan's plan. And so it's all about the personal choice that I'm going to aim my antenna at God. Sure, I've aimed at the wrong place before. That's okay. God made us. He understands that. And the more you resonate with God, the stronger and stronger it gets. And so this is really an amazing adventure. And it's not an adventure we're selling as a cult, or do what we say, or do these special things, these rituals. We're saying the God of the universe is real. Reach out to God. Point your antenna out there and say, God, help me. And God will. If you do it from a pure, repentive heart, seeking God's face, he will heal our land.
That's so beautiful. That really helped me to understand that. Thank you. That you can personally invite Christ into your life. Yeah, you better hide those fags, cigarettes in your language. You can invite him in. You can have a personal relationship with him. So we don't want an institutionalized Christ. The way that the devil mimics eternity is through permanence, by creating solid institutions. And that reminds me of Mike Benz's analysis of democracy, that democracy is meant to mean the fluid relationship between a population and those elected to serve through leadership, but now democracy means a set of controlled institutions. So when we take democracy to Iraq or Iran or Ukraine or wherever, what we mean is we're dropping a bunch of bureaucratic entities that will themselves implement this centralized control of the powerful. Now, Alex, you've always been ahead of it when it comes to calling out in the culture the presence of occultism and demonism, and it feels like me and you are like in an old school phone call where you're answering one question back. So when you do my last question, which I reckon is the one you'll answer now, which is hopefully how we infiltrate the institutions of democracy using the technology that they want to use to control us to ensure that people are heard, which would mean in a true democracy, people could run their communities with full control over their budgets, with full control over policy. People say
exactly, exactly. If we use AI and control it ourselves and not programmed to lie, then it is a super empowering thing that we created. And that is, we have to realize we're the folks that were right. We're the people that challenged the system. And I wouldn't say we have an arrogance, but we should have a confidence in what we're doing, and that we're going to go out there and be the salt of the earth and with God's spirit help lead people out of this. And I totally agree. Everybody should politically get involved, run for office, speak out, start a podcast, even as 100 viewers. You do that, God will get involved, and amazing things will happen. And so, absolutely, this is time for total decentralization. The system wants centralization. We want decentralization. Just like with AI, the answer to AI is not have it centralized. We want a whole bunch of AI. And so the real AI wars are about to begin. And people just have to realize the epicness of this, not see challenging evil or corruption as some big job, but as an opportunity, like lifting weights or jogging, to get in better shape. And once you see it as it's an opportunity and a blessing to be alive now at the crossroads of human destiny, then you can step into that wider world. But I go back to the devil's biggest trick. It's not that he doesn't exist. That's a second trick. It's that good doesn't exist. There are so many good people, black, white, Hispanic, old, young, Arab, blah, blah, blah. And you have to understand that you're not perfect, but your main mission is good. You're not out to get people. You don't want to see other people fail so you succeed. You understand a rising tide raises all ships. It's a non-zero-sum game, a total win-win. And you just have to step into that and just let your light shine, and the people will come. I mean, I'm somebody 32 years ago, I was 20 years old, and I wanted to get on talk radio and went to, you know, college to try to do RTF, and it was a joke. They were teaching 30-year-old information, and I sent out tapes to local radio stations. They play them on air. Look, this guy wants a job. Listen to him make fun of me. But I went to an Access TV show, and immediately within a year showed up in the ratings in Austin as number one in that little time slot twice a week. So then I got a local radio show. Within a year, number one. Another year later, syndicated. And it wasn't that I was so great. It was that it was unwashed, it was unfiltered, and it was covering real issues, and the people wanted it. And so I'm saying I'm nothing special. Good people tend to try to overthink things and think, well, I have a perfect plan, or I'm not good enough to do this. You're good in that you love God and you love justice. You don't have all the answers. You've got to walk in faith and speak out. You've got to be seen. You've got to be the salt of the earth, the light in the world. And a little light in the darkness dispels the darkness. And you've just got to start that journey, and you've got to get involved. And if you pray to God to send the Holy Spirit to you, to lead God and direct you, it will happen. And it is amazing once you do that. So I would just say, take God's hand, ask God to direct you. And it might just be taking care of a sick neighbor. You know, it might be, who knows, whatever God leads you to do. Because it's like, oh, a little thing. I'm taking care of a sick neighbor. Or I'm going and I'm helping in a soup kitchen. Or I'm doing this. It doesn't matter. Or I'm going to run for office. Or I'm going to sue this person. It's whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Just start everywhere. What do I do? How do I fight? What is God's mission? You keep asking the Holy Spirit that. The Holy Spirit will more and more come in until now I get woken up. I even turn the clocks off and turn my phone off because it's ridiculous. I can go to bed at midnight, go to bed at, you know, 8 p.m. 3 a.m. I wake up and I just go sit at the coffee table, and for like an hour, we can call it meditation. I just sit there with the lights dim and just sit there and go, what's the orders? And I do it 7 days a week now for at least 3 years. I was up at 3 a.m. You know, today for like an hour just sitting there. And just saying, just, I wouldn't even call it meditation. It's just clearing my brain and saying, what is your orders?
Are you? I don't think you should be allowed to smoke when you're doing that. Are you smoking?
Yeah, I am smoking. I never really smoked off and on. And then my wife went to rehab 4 years ago. She came back with it. She quit. And it's like, it's crazy to start smoking when you're like 49. Now I'm 52. Yeah, I need to stop.
Yeah, you must smoke. But not when you get the orders as well. Like, I think the orders are coming in. You can't sit there with your American spirit chugging away on that. You got to be focused on the orders. Now, like, I'm getting the orders coming through as well. Now, this is it. This is weird because in my country we got a class system, so we're taught, like, if you're from a certain background, you don't belong in politics. Then you're kind of taught there is no God. And like, if you, as you have already said in this brilliant conversation, orient yourself to God, then that self-obsessiveness that's really governed my life for a long time, and really I coasted on through Hollywood and a bunch of stuff, but somehow I knew that life was spiritual. You feel it all the time, and I knew that it wouldn't work, the life of indulgence and becoming a priest of the Pharisee class of Hollywood. I knew, Alex, that there was something that I was trying to get to, and I didn't think it would come to me in such pain and anguish and so much suffering and brokenness and accusation and fear and dread, but it has come now, and I feel relief and I feel his presence, and I know what you're telling our audience to do is true. That if you say, Jesus, I'm talking to you, Lord, how do you want to serve me? What do you want me to do, Lord? Tell me, what do I do? I want to follow you. Show me, I'm weak on my own. I'm broken. Please, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. Like that, you will be involved in an interface. Now, since I've been living like that, broken, back and forth, falling over, stumbling, but getting back up again, what I've been shown is this. But the world we operate in has already, as we saw with Napster, annihilated the record industry, as we saw with the Arab Spring being used as a tool for politics, as we saw with the Occupy movement used as a unifying force across the political spectrum, and as we're seeing with cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin, but a whole host of them, I'm not really a Bitcoin crypto guy, I know I need to be, like, that it's, what it's doing is it's changing the world radically. And if those technologies, the technologies that have broken the monopoly of information, if that technology is used in the field of politics, it's going to change the world radically. Now, this is what I've decided to do. In 2028, there's a mayoral contest in London. The mayor of London, that competition is in 2028. This is my plan, Alex Jones, and I want your feedback on it. Run for mayor, whether I'm in jail or not. And the policy is this. Total democracy. The reason it can work in London, Alex, is because it's limited. The London mayoral office controls the Metropolitan Police Force, it controls transport, and it controls property development. It has some other symbolic roles as well. But I'm saying this, you don't need a mayor of London. What you'll have is absolute democracy. Using the technology we're all familiar with, whether it's voting on dumb reality shows, or whether it's Polymarkets, one of our sponsors, incidentally, we'll use that technology to ensure absolute a maximum democracy, whether it's small things like improvements to road systems or larger things.
I think it's an absolute genius plan for you to run against Sadiq Khan, who just won his third big win there, just to inject the real issues. That is absolutely what people should do. People shouldn't think, am I going to win? You're going to inject real issues. The only way you fail is not doing it. I think Russell Brand running against Sadiq Khan coming up in a year and a half, 2 years, is pure genius. I think you absolutely must do it.
Thank you very much. Because this is my point. Since coming to the Lord, I don't care. When I was talking about this stuff in 2015, like me running for mayor then, which is when I first started talking about it, it was about, yeah, maybe that'll be great. I'll be powerful. I'll be a mayor. How fantastic. Now, I don't care no more. I'm already dead, man. I don't like suffering. I love my children, all of that stuff. But like you, I can see it in you. I know it when I see it in other people. You kind of know that there is suffering. You kind of know that there is despair, but you also know his glory is real. And when you submit yourself to him, things become possible that were impossible before. I don't want to be
a mayor.
That's
what I was going to say earlier when you
decisions.
Were talking about this.
I want the opportunity,
well,
Alex,
no, that's
Jones,
exactly it.
To democratize London. I want the opportunity to say, listen, if you want ULIS cameras, one of the issues is they hate these cameras, a lot of people do anyway, that charge them congestion taxes. If you want to get rid of that, get rid of it. I also want, if you have issues with migration, and this isn't one of the things that the mayoral office controls, actually, but if people don't want hostels for migrants, they should be able to vote and not have hostels for migrants. The truth is, democracy could work a lot better. It wouldn't be perfect, but it would be a lot better.
And that's what I'm trying to get at, that I said earlier, but just to quantify it, literally, if you ask God to lead God and direct you, not the first time, you in my experience, you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of focus. I spent an hour a day just sitting in a chair asking God, what do I do? There's an American spirit hanging in my mouth doing a coffee, but, and you know, occasionally a sandwich or something. But the point is, that is,
what do you want,
is
God?
That.
Tell me what to do, Lord. What do I do? Return the frogs, day. She sleeps in a literal tent. That evil bitch, she stinks of sulfur. What do I do, Lord? Lord, I can't hear anything. Shall I have another sandwich, Lord? Shall I? Oh, this one's gone out. Lord!
Sorry, Alex. Sometimes I do
no,
comedy.
No, that's
just
the thing is, you know when it's God, because time and time again, it's like nothing but success. And so what I'm saying is that people are like, oh, I'm insecure, or I shouldn't do this. No. You say, I want to be an agent of God. God, what do I do? And you'll know when it's the Holy Spirit. And God will give you little jobs up front, you know, little things. And it's amazing. I mean, when I've totally turned myself over to this, and I get better and better at it, like when I first really started doing it consciously was Jack Dorsey and the Twitter hearings like 8-9 years ago. And they tried to take about the back of the building, the front of the building. And I was like, God goes, let me take control of you. Go down this thing. Now go down this hallway. Now go outside. Now come back in. You're going to confront him right now. And they had all these exits and stuff. And there he was. And I got him. And the point was that I had to literally turn my agency over. I wasn't possessed by like a demon. It was like God was beaming the answers to me. And I've had a lot of examples that I've shown the listeners. It's just, but it's not like I have some superpower. We all have this power. God is 100% real, and all of the drugs and chemicals and poisoned food is about dampening that connection we have electrochemically through our DNA. There's a transceiver. We're a literal liquid water crystal. You know, that got declassified a month ago in Operation Artichoke. The CIA said, we're all psychic. We're a liquid crystal, and we've got to poison the food, water, and shots so that there isn't a giant awakening. But it's going to fail. And so that's really the amazing thing that's happening right now.
I see. The awakening is already among us. The kingdom of heaven is among us. The kingdom of heaven is breaking free and reigning already, but it is being prevented, as usual, by the counterfeit schemes of the fallen one, by the institutions and bureaucracies of this world.
Total delivery and ascension is being blocked by people in denial. Exactly. It's already here, right here, and the enemy's already losing. You can see they're already losing. But the point is, we haven't gotten the general public to realize it. But once there's mass adoption, it is going to be incredible.
Yeah, I wonder, Alex Jones, would you ever consider beginning a community that would be run democratically? Here are some of the principles I reckon are important. Food independence, a community, whether it's 100 people or 500 people, where you have food autonomy, you grow your own food, where you have energy autonomy, you're energy resilient. Would it be possible, Alex, and is this a sort of sensible idea, or have I gone crazy from watching too much InfoWars? Would it be possible to form our own communities that are energy independent and food independent, and those communities are run fully democratically by the people that live there? If they want to run them as Muslim, they can.
Well, the Amish have already done it.
The Amish. Blockchain Amish,
baby. The Amish have already
Amish,
done
baby.
It. They're all over the world.
Blockchain Amish. Yeah, the Amish have done
exactly.
It. Exactly.
If you had, like, some way to hook the Amish system in and that they could control it and have, like, a high-tech element of it, the Amish live on average 8 years longer than everybody else. They don't have autism. They are way healthier than us, and what they're doing is literally following Leviticus. So, absolutely, I mean, we know the blueprint.
Yeah. We've got to be blockchain Amish. We grow our own food. We control our own energy. Now, once you've done that, like, now look, you know a lot more about this than almost anybody. It seems to me that anytime there's a real ideological threat to the system, and I don't even want to call it the American government, because the American government just seems like one outlet of a much broader, wider, more nefarious, deeper occultist system. But say when there is something like, I don't know, Jonestown or Waco. I'm not suggesting that Waco or Jonestown were anything other than crazy, crazy scenarios. However, I do also suspect that if a community was being run well and the leaders were not sleeping with the members or exploiting them financially, that the FBI and the CIA wouldn't be pleased to see alternative social models emerging, and the members of those social models saying, we want to decouple from the dominator system. Imagine if you had these communities of 100 to 500 people, and then you went, as a matter of fact, we're not paying tax anymore, and we're not repaying our debt. We're living in accordance with Scripture. For example, you wouldn't have to do it in accordance with Scripture. That would be democratically decided by the community. What do you think would happen? Do you think the state would step in? Do you think the feds would step in? What do you think would happen, Alex, if you tried to create Alex Jones Land or Alex Jones World? Although I know you're too humble to call it that. Probably you'd call it, I don't know, Infoland. I don't want to bicker about the name.
Sure, let me try to listen. By our own financial decisions and with AI, with good people running it, you can work with people all over the world. We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJ and Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts. They're limited edition. There, a lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel any time. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and the Alex.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.